Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back, NFB Nation, to the National Football Post-College Countdown Podcast. I am your host, Joe Fortenball. It is another big Saturday in the college football world. We're starting to get real close to that time of year. It's all starting to shake down. Bowl season's starting to creep up. We're starting to talk about Heisman Trophy winners, conference championship games. To sift through some of this and to talk about one of the big showdowns we have tonight, my boy from the National Football Post, director of college scouting, Wes Bunting, is here. Wes, what's going on, my man?
Oh, not too much. Another great day of college football, and just looking forward once again to the nightcap. Really intriguing game tonight, Mississippi State, Florida. Looking forward to that one.
Mississippi State and Florida is the topic of conversation today. We have the number one team in the nation hitting the road to play Mississippi State Bulldogs. Excuse me. Now, Wes, first question on the docket for this game. Florida, obviously, number one. They've run through pretty much everybody this season. They handled LSU a couple weeks ago. What is Mississippi State going to have to do on offense to have a chance in this thing?
Well, the thing I love that Mississippi State has won, we've seen Urban Meyer and that offense that he had at Utah that he brought to Florida. But the guy kind of behind the scenes was his offensive coordinator there, Dan Mullen. Mullen came with Urban Meyer from Utah. He's pretty much run the Florida offense the last couple years. He's been the guy responsible for Tim Tebow's progressions these last couple years. Been with Tebow since his freshman year, really developing that Florida offense. He gets hired now as a first-year head coach at Mississippi State, and he knows all the ins and outs of that Florida offense. He knows what he has to do to stop Florida on first down, get them off the field, and what it takes physically to beat them up front defensively. And the big question you ask first off, what do they have to do on offense to beat Florida? Well, they need to run Anthony Dixon, the big 6'2", 235-pound back, down the Gators' throats. They don't have the playmakers on the outside to beat Florida down the field. They don't have the guys to consistently block the front four of Florida up front. So they need to stay in manageable down and distance situations and pound the rock with Dixon.
Now, let me ask you a question. This seems to be a similar situation to what we saw with USC and Washington, whereas Pete Carroll's offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, left USC last year, went to Washington, and pulled the big upset alert at home a few weeks ago. Is there a possible upset alert in this game with Mullen now coaching at Mississippi State, having coached the Gators last year, and them traveling on the road, much like USC did?
Joe, that's the one reason why I like this game so much. And if there's one team in the top five this week that would be on upset alert, I think it's the Florida Gators. The key to stopping the Gators, especially on offense, is stopping that Florida dive play, where Tebow will fake the handoff and then run right behind the big pouncy twins inside, picking up 4, 5, 6 yards on first down. And what we saw last week and what teams have been able to do, when they can stop the Florida dive on first down, it forces Florida to drop back and pass on third and long situations, which Tebow has struggled with not only this year but throughout his career. So you can guarantee that Dan Mullen, the head coach at Mississippi State, has been grilling his defense this week to close those gaps inside, shoot the linebackers at the right time, and make sure that they limit the Florida dive on first down so they can force them into third and long situations.
So Mississippi State's front seven, these are the guys that are going to need to limit that dive play. Who are some of the key names from that group, and how do you see them playing this one out?
Well, this is where it gets interesting, Joe, because you have a guy, Kyle Love, the nose tackle inside, 6'1", 310, isn't real much of a game changer, though, inside. Struggles a bit to consistently hold the point of attack. Doesn't play as big as his frame would indicate. McPhee at defensive end, a former community college transfer, still finding his way in the SEC. So they don't have any real standout on the defensive line, which concerns me. So you have to think that big-time linebackers like Jamar Chaney, one of the top middle linebacker prospects in the nation this year, he'll be shooting through those aid gaps. And K.J. Wright, who leads the team right now with 47 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, those two guys will be responsible for consistently shooting through those aid gaps and trying to slow down Tebow on first down.
For Florida, you know, it's tough. We've talked about them so much in the College Countdown podcast here. And, you know, they go out, they handle business every week. We've all seen it on TV. Is there anything special they need to bring to the table in this one? I mean, any sort of specific game plan, or is this just the standard, do what you've been doing, continue to pound it, continue to do what works, and you'll just overpower Mississippi State? Is that what we're looking at here?
I think so. They need to limit turnovers. We saw last week when they gave Arkansas so many additional chances. It's not only Tebow throwing interceptions, which he's been able to limit consistently throughout his career, but fumbling the football, Moody, Demps on the outside. When they get in the open field, protect the football, because, you know, like I said, the two Pouncey brothers, Michael and Maurice, inside consistently open up lanes to find running room inside. If those two big 320-pound maulers inside consistently do what they have to do, Florida should be able to have a lot of success on the ground. But again, they need to limit the turnovers to consistently stay ahead of the chains, limit the possessions of Mississippi State, and not to give them any chance or any hope, especially early in the game, that they could knock the Gators off.
So for the most part, what we're saying here is Florida should dominate, but Mississippi State, if we do some of the things if they do some of the things we've been talking about, obviously stellar play from the front seven, force turnovers, limit the dive on Florida's offense, they're going to have a shot in this one, you think?
Yeah, anytime any SEC team has to travel on the road in these hostile environments, especially at night, upset alerts always on cue. And when we see Dan Mullen, who knows the Gators inside and out, they have that big, powerful Anthony Dixon. It's just exactly the kind of back that you need to beat a Florida defense. There's just some things that are in the air that could spell upset alert. If Florida plays their A game, Mississippi State has no chance. But stranger things have happened. And if Mississippi State comes to play, creates some turnovers, and causes Florida to doubt themselves early, it could be an open ball game.
Stranger things have happened indeed. I'm sure there are days when you're not in your sweatpants on Saturday, and that's strange enough as is, considering that's what you do every Saturday. Are you in sweatpants right now, Wes? Tell the listeners.
Absolutely, Joe. Now, you're going to kill me, but I got my Oakland Raiders sweatpants on right now, National Football T-shirt on, and I'm ready to go.
Well, you know what? There's nothing I can say. I've been dogging your Raiders all year. I've been talking up you-know-what storm to you, and you went ahead and knocked off my Eagles last week. So what am I supposed to say? You know what? You might as well gloat for a few minutes. Bowen did it with Iowa and Penn State. It seems like basically everyone's shoving everything in my face this year, as my teams aren't beating anyone. So I really have that to look forward to. So, Wes, just to wrap this bad boy up before we get back to the games, what's your final score prediction in this one? How do you see it playing out? Tell the listeners.
Honestly, when you look at the offensive playmakers at Mississippi State, Tyson Lee at quarterback, Chad Bumpus wide receiver, they don't have many playmakers on the outside. I just think there's too much talent on the Florida side of the ball for Mississippi State to stay pace. However, I think it's going to be a lot closer game than many appear. I think this will go into the fourth quarter still with this chance for them to upset. However, I just think there's too much talent, too many playmakers on the Gators side of the ball, both offensively and defensively, for Mullen to upset this year.
Let me ask you another question. I'm going to throw this one in here. You did not have it on today's script, so I'm going to try to catch you off guard a little bit. Obviously, the BCS rankings just came out last week. We all saw, you know, everyone's getting excited because it's starting to become that time of year. Number one, Florida. Number two, another SEC team, Alabama. I feel that's rightfully so. Alabama has played outstanding defense this year. If those two meet in the SEC championship, which appears to be inevitable right now, should the loser of that game, in your opinion, be excluded from the national title game if, for example, a team like Texas runs the table and goes undefeated?
Joe, I think you have to give another team a chance. You figured out who's the top team in the top conference, the SEC. Whoever wins that, obviously a clear path right to the national championship. But I think we have to bring someone else into play. They've already proved that they can beat the Florida or the Alabama in the SEC. So I would say, yes, you have to bring in a Texas. You have to bring in a Big Ten team. I'm not going to say Iowa, Joe. I refuse to say Iowa, but you have to bring you have to bring in the USC, the other power conference team in the nation at that point. Even if it's a mid-major, a Boise State, a BYU, a TCU, whoever it may be, I think you have to give another chance a team to prove that they can knock off the big boy of the SEC.
I agree, but it just leaves such a sour taste in my mouth like it does every year because, in my personal opinion, I feel that those are the two best teams in the country. For some reason, I've actually watched a lot of Alabama football this year. It's probably because they're always on TV where I live, but they just look outstanding on the defensive side of the ball. And Ingram's been an outstanding running back this year, in my opinion. I don't think he gets as much credit as he should. And it just stinks to have to watch these two play each other. And the loser, just they're out. They're out of the picture. And then you got a team like, you know, Texas, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but where are the big wins? Does Oklahoma still really count? They're a three-loss team.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. And it's almost you have to think that these conferences need to do away with these conference championship games. As bad as that may sound, if every team wants a chance to play for the national title, no matter what division, no matter what conference they're in, you almost think they have to. Everyone needs to have one, or everyone needs to get rid of them. You can't have these conferences like the Big Ten deciding to skip out, taking off pretty much, you know, that last week in November, and then waiting all the way till January 1st to play a game.
Yeah, college field hockey, college tennis, college soccer, all have playoffs. Everybody's got a playoff except college football. And you know what? That's where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave that as the last thought for our listeners on this fine Saturday. Wes, you did an excellent job once again, my friend. Thank you for coming on. You know what? Get back. Get back to watching the games. I don't want to take any more time away from you slothing around on your couch in your sweatpants watching college football. You did an excellent job, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Joe. We'll see you next time.
You got it, pal. To everyone else in NFB Nation, thank you for tuning in. Get your butts back on the couches, back to the bars. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. We'll see you next time.